Coming up on this episode of the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, Chris and I share our favorite moments between the comedy duo of R2-D2 and C-3PO. We also discuss the leaked photos from the set of Episode 7, new cast members, Empire Magazine's 301 Best Movies of All Time, and Obi-Wan and Vader on this episode's Things That Make You Go, All that and more coming up on the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, and it starts right now.
Just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful Pleiades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All-powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Krenke and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, the podcast to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. The Sarlacc Pit is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, and we thank those guys for their support of the podcast. This is episode number 74 for June 8th, 2014. If you're new to the show, my name is Matt the Crankster Krenke, your co-host. And let me welcome in the co-host and creator of the Sarlacc Pit Podcast from Memphis, Tennessee, Chris Hoffice Planet Smith. What's up, my friend? How you doing?
What's going on? I'm doing good.
Ready staying to busy talk with all those websites,
oh,
huh?
Oh, God, yes. Busy, but I'm enjoying it. It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got to be tons of fun. I mean, we'll talk about some of the pages, but, of course, Classic Star Wars, the main page and, of course, our page. But, yeah, you got a lot of stuff going on. And like I said, we'll talk about that towards the end of the show. We'll direct you guys to those great sites and those great Facebook pages. Today, Chris, we got a fun show today. We're going to be talking our favorite R2-D2 C-3PO moments in the saga, but before we do that, there has been a lot of news and a lot of just quick things going on. I mean, it's a buzz. We got Hamels and Star Wars Weekends right now, and we had all this leaked photo stuff going on and this and that. So we got a bunch of news to cover, so let's just dig into that right now and see what we can talk about. Like I said, Chris, tons of stuff going on, and let's break down some of it right now. The first thing I think I wanted to get to is, and probably one of the biggest things was the leaked photos that came out just maybe a week or so ago as we're recording this. Of course, the stuff that came out of the Abu Dhabi set, I think it was, 40-some-odd photos, Chris, that TMZ got a hold of?
Yeah.
It's about 40, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was quite a bit.
Yeah. And most of the stuff was, you know, I mean, it's obviously not nothing like crazy, you know, spoilerish. So if there's anybody listening, again, we're going to talk about these photos. So if you don't know, but Chris, there was a lot of stuff. Like there was this creature that they got pictures of. It looked kind of like a giant pig or something. It was pretty bizarre. Of course, you know, when you talk about creatures in the Star Wars universe, I mean, I just, obviously is par for the course. I mean, you're always going to find quirky, funny-looking creatures. But so that was leaked. Just a bunch of, like, a couple set photos, and there was photos of, like, extras that look like. So, like I said, it wasn't, like, crazy. You know, you weren't seeing, like, Luke in his Jedi garb or anything like that, or Han Solo in his black vest. It was just photos like that. But it just goes to show, like, how crazy that this particular movie is gonna garner so much hype. And I mean, you know, even in this day and age, like, JJ's trying to keep this thing as quiet as he can. And I remember with Star Trek, I mean, the big thing that came out of it was trying to hide that Cumberbatch was going to be Khan. And obviously that kind of leaked and everybody kind of knew that was coming. But, I mean, this is just like set photos of what could be just background stuff going on. You know what I mean? And still yep. garners all this attention. I mean, TMZ had their name all over these photos. They wanted to make sure you knew where these things come from. And JJ was obviously pretty upset about it. I'm sure a lot of the producers were kind of upset. I remember Kathleen said, you know, if stuff gets out, it gets out. What are we going to do? But it seemed like JJ wasn't too happy about this because this is just the beginning. I imagine when they get to, you know, doing some big scenes where there's going to be possibly like battles and combats or lightsaber fighting or something like that. I mean, that is stuff they really want to keep under the wraps and wait for the movie for that. But what do you think about all these photos? Anything in these photos, Chris, that got you excited? Or, I mean, do you think it's just regular, you know, background type of stuff?
Well, the very first batch that we saw with the pig creature, which looked really kind of cool to me, I really like that.
Yeah.
Is, like you said, it just looks like, okay, this is going to be like in episode one where you got all the Mos Espa people running around. That's basically, to me, what we saw. But then later, we got to see some leaked pictures of them building the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And
right,
you know that's it, and you're just like, oh, my God, there it is. Yes, yeah. We know for sure. We knew it was going to be there. Yes, there it is. And even seeing an X-Wing, what looks like possibly an X-Wing. But the thing that I thought about J.J. Abrams was, yeah, he made it sound like he was angry, but that, to me, the whole thing was a joke, because if you notice on the picture that he's showing the little note of saying that, you know, hey, saying that Millennium Falcon is in the movie is ridiculous, and yet the note is sitting on the Jajaric table from the Millennium Falcon. So I'm like,
that is great, though, isn't it?
That's awesome, yeah. So, yeah, people are getting all excited and everything, which is great. But this is just all background stuff. I mean, I'm sure we're not going to see, like you said, Han and, you know, in there. And I liked it, you know, we get, which I think we'll get to it here in a bit, but they show pictures of Mark Hamill at Star Wars Weekend.
Right.
And, of course, it went into the news, and this I thought was just hilarious to me, seeing the headline for this news piece. Luke Skywalker in Episode 7 will have a beard. I was like, really?
Yeah.
You kind of have to laugh at that. But somebody actually put that in the title of an article, so.
Yeah, he had mentioned on the chat with James Arnold Taylor over just a couple of days ago, and he talked about how he started growing the beard right after that table read. So obviously we know what Luke's going to look like in Episode 7. But yeah, you talked about J.J. Abrams in the note. I thought that was so great. I mean, perfect response. The note said, for anybody who hasn't seen, I'm sure everybody's seen it, says, I wish people would stop leaking photos from the Episode 7, and let's see what it says. And making ridiculous claims that the Millennium Falcon is in the movie. And like you said, Chris, it's the notice taped to the table. So I thought that was really good. And it's just crazy, because I think, and who knows, maybe this is just part of the hype machine that they're going to start. I mean, we're going to start it now as filming begins, and keep this machine rolling until December of 2015 when we finally get to see the movie. So, yeah, at first I thought, whoa, man, he's kind of maybe a little upset. And I think maybe he is kind of a little bit, because that's not what you want. You don't want, you know, part of your crew that you have all this trust in to start doing that. I mean, come on, man, this is, you know, you're trying to keep this thing as spoiler free as you can for people like us who want to stay spoiler free.
Yeah, I think
there's just people going to be doing that. They're going to be trying to get, because these TMZs and all these, they pay big dollar for stuff like that. You know what I mean? I mean, anytime there's any kind of crazy thing that goes on, you can sell stuff to these magazines for some pretty good cash, and they'll pay, especially for 40 different photos. I'm not sure how much TMZ paid for all those, but you know they paid for them. And
I kind of think it was all set up, you know. I think it was all set up and planned.
But maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe it was. Maybe it was one of those things where, hey, let's throw a little bit of you know, let's get some hype going already.
Because it was TMZ, that's why I say that. If it was some, you know, the Latino review website, which is pretty popular at getting stuff out, then I would say, okay, you know, think, hey, those are leaked, but TMZ stamped all over them. I think, yeah, I think that was a little planned, but it's fun. It's so exciting. And, speaking of, I'm going to throw this in right here is that we have a brand new, Facebook page called Star Wars Now. And that basically is what's going on in Star Wars right now. So anything news coming out, whether it be Episode 7, Star Wars Rebels, it's toy news, anything that's happening in Star Wars Now, that's the page that we're using to keep up with all of that stuff. I mean, obviously we have our classic Star Wars, which is just classic Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And this particular page, Star Wars Now, which we just got started about 2 weeks ago, is we're covering everything in Star Wars, anything that's coming out news-wise. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's actually good because, like you said, with so much stuff coming out with collecting movies, Rebels, the filming, Star Wars, I mean, there's so much stuff going on, and to have a place to just go, hey, I want one place where I can just go and know where everything's going on, especially on Facebook, that is perfect. So that's definitely a great page to go to, and we'll talk about that.
And spoilers beware. So it's up to you whether you want to follow the page. So,
there you go.
Yeah, this is Star Wars Now. So whatever news comes out, we're going to be reporting it. So if you don't want to be spoiled, then it's up to you to how much you want to be spoiled.
Yeah. So we talked about the leaked photos. And just around that same time, Chris, we got word that there is two new female cast members joining Star Wars Episode 7. I remember last episode we had talked about how when they announced this cast, there was some, not a lot, but there was a little bit of talk about, well, how come there's not more women in Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, we couldn't figure it out because you got Leia who's coming back, main character. Daisy Ridley is playing, obviously, a big character. We're assuming it's going to be the child of the Solo. So it's kind of confusing. Well, wait a minute. The two of the main characters are women. Why the big hubbub about it? But anyway, two more female characters are coming in. So we got Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o, who was in 12 Years a Slave, which I did not see, but apparently, she's an Oscar winner. So, hey, there's got to be some chops there. And then Gwendolyn Christie, who apparently is in Game of Thrones, which I haven't seen. I think I've seen a couple episodes, but obviously a huge, major show that everybody seems to be watching. So, Chris, we got two new characters and I guess actresses that have pretty good resumes already. So what do you think about these new cast members?
I was kind of surprised to see them grab two women like this of their stature. I'm not even going to attempt their names, but the lady that was in 12 Years a Slave, she is basically new on the scene as far as popularity. And, of course, I haven't seen that movie either, and I haven't seen Game of Thrones because, I don't know, TV shows set in those type time periods really aren't much of an interest to me, but she's a big character and on that show from what I understand. So I was really kind of surprised that we got two women of this stature in the business right now. We discussed it last time about, people complaining there's not enough women. Well, we understand, in the original trilogy, the main female character was Leia, and that was pretty much it. And then the same thing with, in the prequels, where you had Padme, and you had a couple of other female Jedi of different species, running around. But, so now we're looking at possible four main characters. We don't know, I've heard rumors also about a Sith character, female Sith. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah. Did you hear the one about, Asajj Ventress being in the film?
Yeah.
And I know that was kind of, one of the rumors going around with this Lupita Nyong'o lady who could be that. Or I heard some other thing about being like, Obi-Wan's descendant or something like that. And I was like, whoa. I mean, I don't know how much of a stretch that is, but.
Oh, man.
Well, that was another one I heard, so, yeah, I don't know.
Well, we look at it this way. We know the Clone Wars are canon, so
right.
Who's to say Obi-Wan didn't hook up with somebody at some point?
Yeah.
Or even after...
Satine, yeah.
Even after, or while he was on Tatooine, looking over Luke, who's to say that he didn't meet somebody or whatnot, so...
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, I mean, especially living the life of a hermit, you know.
I mean, that's what's, this is so exciting. When I sit down, and sometimes I get to just thinking about it, that we have, this can go in any direction. Mm-hmm. They've set right. this all up. They've aligned the EU the way they've done, and it's just wide open, and there's so many possibilities. It's just, it blows my mind because, like we discussed it before, the prequels, we knew the basics of where it was going, where it had to go. It had to end up at this point. Mm-hmm. But this, oh my gosh, it's so exciting. I'm getting jazzed and all jacked up right this minute just thinking about it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And it seems like, you know, Mark Hamill was at Star Wars Weekends this past weekend. And then there was Carrie Fisher. She was on a couple shows. So it doesn't look like their scenes are quite ready to be filmed yet. Obviously, Mark is still growing out the beard. So I'm not sure how far they're going to grow it out, if they're going to add to it. But they're definitely, and you know, he's looking great. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I've talked about this before. I mean, I've seen pictures and there was a picture of him and Billy Dee and the whole thing over this past weekend. So, and he's looking really good. He's excited. He was talking to James Arnold Taylor at Star Wars Weekends and, just the, you know, he's just a great, lovable guy, and he's back in this universe, man. It's so great to see. So
I didn't get to see the James Arnold. I have to look that one up.
It's actually on YouTube, yeah.
I saw one of the other ones where he was talking about how much he just loved the fans since then and how they've grown now. He said he's just, and how much he just loves being around the fans and talking to us, and that's just awesome to hear him say that. That he, you know, he embraced his character early enough. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have necessarily, you know, I think he had some after Star Wars because he was trying to make a name for himself outside of Star Wars, and he had a little issues with that. But I think all in all, he's embraced it and he's loved it. And Carrie has too. I think Harrison just kind of got, I'm tired of hearing about it, syndrome going on, you know?
Yeah. No, he's been looking really good, and it's going to be great to see those guys back in. And speaking of Billy Dee, looks like he, over this past weekend as well, confirmed that he was going to be in Star Wars Rebels. So he's going to be lending a voice. And so I'm assuming he's going to be Lando, but I guess that's not, I mean, we can't really, are 100% sure about that. He just said he's in Rebels. So maybe he's voicing a different character. I don't know, but it's going to be hard to hear him. And if it is a different character, you know, and it's not Lando. He's like, whoa, wait a minute, this is weird, unless he's going to alter his voice. But I didn't hear anything about him being Lando, but I guess we're just all assuming that, right? That he's going to be Lando in Rebels?
Yeah, that was my assumption when I saw it. I didn't think nothing of it, but now that you mention it, it makes me wonder, is he going to be playing his dad or something?
Right, right. I don't know. Yeah, that's, you know, makes I just you thought about that just now. Like, oh, yeah, he's confirmed, but did they say he's Lando? I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think they did, so... Remains to be seen whether it's even going to be in this first season or not. We got 16 episodes, Chris, of the Rebels, Star Wars Rebels, coming up this fall. So,
and if Lando is a young character, you know, say a teenager, young teenager, mm-hmm. then how would Lando? I mean, how would Billy Dee play that voice?
Mm-hmm. Right. You
know, but yeah, it's exciting news. I mean, it's just something else to look forward to.
Yeah, another show that's coming out.
And recently in the news has come out that they're saying that it's going to premiere in October. So we've got 4 months to go, which is exciting.
Premiere in October. And I'm assuming they're still doing that one-hour special to kick it off sometime this summer. So maybe in August or something like that, we might get that Disney Channel one-hour intro or introduction into the Rebels. And more on that as we get news. Some more news coming up. Let's see what else. Oh. Another director was named. So we got Gareth Edwards connected to, I guess, the first spinoff film. And they just announced another director for another spinoff film. Like, wow, they're really cranking this out. They're really jumping on these other movies real quick. Josh Trank, who I obviously is a new name to me, but he did the movie Chronicle, and he's currently working on the Fantastic Four reboot. So obviously this guy, they see something in him with Chronicle, and they're giving him a superhero type movie. So they think he's got the chops to work on a standalone Star Wars movie, which we don't know yet. But Chris, you sent me a list of I guess we can say maybe spoiler, obviously spoiler material here, but
yeah,
but possibly a leaked Hasbro list of movies. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I found this a couple weeks ago, a week or so ago, and it's spread around the internet. And it when I first saw it, it was tagged as a possible mistake leak by Hasbro as far as what they're focusing their each year, what their line will be of Star Wars will be focused on. You know, we know that each year Hasbro has their main focus of what the line is focused at and whatnot. And then right. I also saw this here in a couple days ago with this just being in general as Star Wars news and movies about what's coming up. And what it is based on is basically it says this. In 2014, their focus is on Rebels. 2015, obviously Episode 7. 2016 is Boba Fett. 2017 is Episode 8. 2018 is Han Solo. 2019 is Episode 9. And then 2020 is Red 5. So we've heard about the possibility of a Boba Fett spinoff movie and then a young Han Solo spinoff movie, which I think is going to be awesome. Both of those sound really good. But to have 2020 in it listed Red 5 kind of makes you, is this going to be something? And what I had seen in the article was they were saying, is this going to have something to do with Rogue Squadron?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly X-Wing series or whatnot. At any rate, I don't know if you want to call that an actual spoiler because it's not confirmed or anything, but we have heard of Boba Fett and we have heard of Han Solo for standalone. It's also been mentioned about a Yoda. But the Red 5 is kind of surprising to come out. And if that is actually it, I mean, all in all, I'm just, oh gosh, it's just so much future. See, this is what I like about what's going on. We have Kathleen Kennedy. And I said this when they first brought her on board that she doesn't mess around. Her main philosophy is to make movies. That's what she's always been. For as long as she's been in the business, she's just looking to making good movies and getting good movies out. As a company, you can't make any money if you're not putting movies out.
Mm-hmm.
So she is. That's one thing that I was so excited about. But I don't know. One a year. I don't see that it'll saturate oversaturate anything.
No.
It'll just be, hey, we'll have one thing each year, a big, huge party to look forward to every year.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's different, too, because you're going to have the story of the sequel trilogy, and then you're going to have spinoffs, so it's going to be kind of different. I don't know. I'm assuming that, well, I guess we don't really know, but I would just assume that somehow, since everything coming out now is going to be canon, it would have to. I'm assuming these standalone movies are going to be the same thing, where they're going to interweave with the. Let's say it's a Boba Fett movie. We know he dies. Well, actually, we don't. I mean, it could bring him back. You never know. So, it's got to stay in the continuity. And a Han Solo movie is a little. I'm not sure because how do you do a Han Solo movie without Harrison Ford? I mean, you're going to get a young actor to.
Yeah.
To the. You're going to have to if it's skewed towards that earlier time frame.
Yeah, they're saying.
And then the last one is Red 5, which Red 5 is Luke Skywalker. So are we going to see a standalone movie featuring either a young Luke as Red 5 and Rogue Squadron, or is it going to be, you know, later on? This is where you get to those, like you said, Chris, the possibilities are wide open. And it's so neat to go into this and not know where it's going and just be surprised. So,
and just this alone is so much to sit there and just kind of ponder on and think about.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, you know, we know Boba Fett goes down in the Sarlacc. We don't know if he, I mean, obviously he could survive.
Jeez, if Darth Maul can survive being cut in half.
Exactly.
And fall down a shaft, you know, why can't he somehow find a way to get out?
And, I really like that young Han Solo idea of bringing in a good actor to take him on as a young Han Solo. And to me, bring in, when Chewie was, when him and Chewie met, there could be Lando in there, a young Lando, a Greedo popping up here. I mean, just so much fun and possibilities. And, you know, I have a lot of faith in Disney. I mean, everybody, there's so many people that just say, oh, no, they're going to ruin it. But I just, what sticks in my head is Pirates of the Caribbean was also Disney. Mm. And look at how well done and adult that was.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Great.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to see no goofy cartoon Disney stuff with this. Come on, people.
No, and going back to some of these standalones, like, it's very, when you think about it, it's pretty easy to, like, just say Boba Fett. I mean, he fell into a Sarlacc, which takes 1,000 years to die. So you're not dead, obviously, right away. So there's plenty of story ideas that you can do to get him out of there. As easy as he had some kind of a beacon on that one of his bounty hunter, fellow bounty hunters was able to come and get him out of there or something. So he fell into that Sarlacc, but it's probably story-wise, it should be very easy to get him out of there. So we'll see where that, if they do a Boba Fett, which I imagine they are, and probably start with that. God, it's going to be exciting to see where they go. I hope they go after episode 6. That'd be so cool. So, and speaking of, you know, we're talking about movies here. Empire Magazine recently did a story, Chris, on some of the 301 best movies for this. And Empire is a British magazine. It's a monthly magazine that started way back in 89. So they're all about movies. And they've done these lists before, Chris. I don't know if you noticed. They've done like a top 500 list. They've done, I think, a top 200. So they've done these lists before, and every, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years, they re-pull a bunch of people. And apparently on this new list, just came out in a July issue, 250,000 responses.
Yeah. Yeah.
To present the 301 greatest movies ever made. And this is not just, you know, not just like sci-fi or not just this or that. I mean, this is everything. This is movies of all genres. So, you know, comedy, drama, action, adventure, everything, right?
Yeah.
And
so we want to go over the top 10, right?
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to go over the top 10. I'll just mention, you know, as far as Star Wars movies go, since this is a Star Wars podcast, Rotz was in there at 200. Rotz, Revenge of the Sith, was in there at number 224, and then we'll talk about the other two Star Wars movies that made it on. But just speaking of Lucas alone, I mean, he had that. He had at 179, Chris, he had Temple of Doom. Of course, he's part of it. But at 120, oh, yeah, 120 was Return of the Jedi,
yep.
1983. And then at 100 was The Last Crusade. So, and then we're going to get to a couple more. But just Lucas's influence and Spielberg's influence alone on this list is huge. Mm-hmm. But let's go with the top 10, Chris. What do you want to just read off the top 10, or you want to go one by one, or?
Yeah, I'll just go one by one. Actually, okay. I want to add number 11, which ended up being Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford. But number 10 is Inception, which I still haven't seen this movie, but I've heard that it's really, really good. So mm-hmm. number 9 is Raiders of the Lost Ark, one of the other influences. And number 8 was Jaws, another great influence by Steven Spielberg. Number 7, Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, so the first one. And then number 6 is Star Wars, A New Hope. Right. And my thought is, are you crazy? After we go to look at some of these other movies. Yeah. Number 5, Pulp Fiction. Great movie, but sorry, not better. You can't put that ahead of Star Wars. Number 4, Shawshank Redemption, another fantastic movie. This is one of my all-time favorite movies, but nope, still not better than Star Wars. Number 3, The Dark Knight. Great movie. You know, the Joker was a fantastic character, played by Heath Ledger, but come on, you can't put Dark Batman in front of Star Wars, really. Number 2, The Godfather.
It's not like a bias, Chris.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. The Godfather, number 2, yeah, I can go with that one. I'll say that, yeah, okay, that could sit in front of Star Wars, but that's it. And then, obviously, number 1, The Empire Strikes Back. That is just amazing, awesome that they put that up there like that.
You know, that movie and some of these movies for, you know, Star Wars and Empire, on their previous lists, they've never been, like, a Star Wars movie has never been number 1. So this new list compiled just recently, you know, 2014, they put Empire Strikes Back the number 1 movie. So that's a huge accomplishment for Lucas and everybody involved. And of course, the late great director, Irving Kirshner. And But check out this list, Chris. I mean, you're talking, look at this. The top, or five of these movies out of the top 10 were done between 75 and 81. I mean, these are 30 plus years and top five. And so it kind of goes to show that, you know, it's not necessarily how great a movie looks and the special effects, even though, of course, these movies like Star Wars, obviously, and Empire had fantastic groundbreaking special effects, but it's still about the story and the chemistry of the actors and their performances and all that kind of combined. And it's not just, oh, the latest, greatest blockbuster, Marvel movie. Let's see how crazy we can get with the effects, which is still great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we love this stuff. I mean, we'll see what they do with episode 7 and beyond, but it's just, I started looking at it, I go, wow, you know, top five of the top 10 were done way back, you know, from 75 to 81. And of course, you know, you got Raiders of the Lost Ark, Steven Spielberg, you have Jaws, Spielberg and Lucas, Jaws, Steven Spielberg, Star Wars, and then Empire Strikes Back. So these young, and all these guys, The Godfather, 1972, Francis Ford Coppola, all these guys were kind of in this new group of filmmakers back in the early 70s. And, you know, I was surprised to not see like American Graffiti on there, and a couple other ones. But wow, what a list. I mean, Jaws, I would put Jaws even farther down the list. I'd put that top five. I mean, Jaws is still one of those movies that,
oh yeah,
it's just one of those lightning in a bottle things where everything went wrong, but it kind of made the movie that it went wrong. You know, we didn't get to see the shark until way deep into the show.
Yeah, when you first see it, that moment when you finally see it and Roy Schreider sees it, look on his face, his reaction is just priceless. It's such a great moment. You're going to need a bigger boat. I mean,
yeah, it just kind of goes to show that what, you know, these directors, that new crop, the new breed that came in the 70s with even De Palma and a couple of those other guys that just really filmmaking, they really knew, like they were on the pulse of something great, and they're still doing it today, except for Lucas, he's kind of retired. But yeah, I know it was a really cool list, and they're kind of like, they're talking about Empire Strikes Back as number one, and they talked about just how everything came together, and they're one of their, I guess, OMG moments, because each article or each movie they give like a couple of, like their oh my God moment was the whole Harrison Ford, Leia connection to that whole movie and their chemistry. And then at the very end, how, you know, she said, I love you, and he said, I know. And then it ended on a cliffhanger. Wow. I mean, I think the OMG moment is Vader saying, I'm your father. But whatever, it's still number one. So, hey, it's all good, you know. But yeah, I mean, I just started looking over this list, and from 224 down, I mean, there's, you know, like I said, Revenge of the Sith, Temple of Doom, Return of the Jedi, The Last Crusade, we got Jaws, Empire Strikes Back. So Star Wars is well represented in this list. It kind of goes to show, in this magazine, that of all movies, like I said, we're not just talking about science fiction or anything like that. We're talking movies, all movies. So, great accomplishment. And it's, you know, it's just a magazine. It's just, you know, opinion, but it's 250,000 votes or whatever the heck it was. So that's a pretty good group. So 2014, they got Empire Strikes Back as number one. And, you know, they'll probably do a list a few, 5 years from now, and who knows where it'll be. Maybe it'll drop up and down. It seems like these, as new generations come along, maybe these movies kind of go up and down, but we'll see. And, you know, it's kind of funny, Chris. We'll see how these lists are affected 10 years from now when we got episode 7 and 8, you know, where they fit in this whole group and in this kind of greatest movies of all time discussion. We'll see what happens, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's get on to, oh, you know what? Let's get our email. We got an email we want to talk about here. One of our friends over across the pond, Terry Cooper, who actually supplies voices for us in our segue, our Obi-Wan segue. He called us and wanted to talk about our last show where we talked about our favorite, funniest lines from the saga. And here's what Terry had to say.
Hi, guys. Terry from Save the Last Homestead and the UK Garrison here in the UK. Just two quick ones that I wanted to talk about on the funniest lines episode that you did. The first one is Luke saying, as the trash compactor is about to kill them all, apart from the obvious line of, one thing's for sure, we're all going to look a lot thinner, which is funny, Luke says, wait a minute, because he remembers the microphone. And the funny thing is that they just don't have a minute, and that always struck me as funny, as if everyone's going to stop and say, hey, Luke, oh, okay, well, wait, what have you remembered? And the other one, which you mentioned, obviously, is Harrison Ford's improvisation on the Death Star. But the funniest punchline for that is when he says, how are you? Because he's bluffing, he's doing his best, and it just turns it conversationally round. He says, well, stop asking about me. How are you guys over there? I thought that was really funny. Anyway, great episode, and I'll catch you very soon.
So good stuff from Terry, man. We love Terry. We've got to actually get him back on the show. He's got some great insights as well, and I love his voices. But he talks about our last episode, Chris, and talk about our funniest lines. And he mentions the Luke one, which we didn't talk about. But Luke has a few lines in there that are kind of funny. And he talks about the wait a minute. And he makes a good point where,
yeah,
like you said, they don't have a minute. They got a few seconds. So you need to hurry up and figure out what you're trying to do in this wait a minute thing. And then, of course, he talks about both our favorite and funniest line or funniest moment in the whole saga was in Star Wars, where in the trash or when they stormed the detention cell, and we talked about that too, where Han says, "Hey, how are you?" You know, that's just the improvisation there is just makes it so funny, and him trying to sound like everything's cool, Chris, and he kind of agrees with us on our favorite line. What do you think?
Yes. The one about being thinner kind of always, to me, was such a corny line, but works. So, yeah, it's...
Yeah.
And I hadn't really thought much about that, wait a minute. But, yeah, you know, like, wait a minute, like, is up all of them are just going to stop and say yes?
Yeah.
You know?
Go ahead.
What do you have in mind?
Let's all take a seat, yeah. No, good stuff. Thanks, Terry, for that. And anybody else listening, hey, it's just that easy. If you don't want to write anything down, you don't want to bother with going to the email or anything like that or Facebook, it's as easy as going to the Sarlacc Pit podcast Facebook page. There's the SpeakPipe app. You just hit it. If you got speakers on your computer or a microphone set up, just, you know, let us know. Give us some anything, man. Anything you want to talk about, let us know. Talk anything as our last episodes, talking about our top five, if you have a top five, this or that, or your funniest C-3PO and R2 moments like we're going to talk about today. Anything you want to talk to, man, just hit that button and let us know, and we'll talk about it on the show. Today, Chris, I want to talk about Obi-Wan and Anakin in this week's Things That Make You Go, Hmm. All right, Chris. Now, we talked about this briefly before we started, and ever since 2005 and Revenge of the Sith came out, we saw how the whole Anakin losing and turning into Vader, how that happened, because that was like for so long we wondered how that happened. You know, what was the circumstances behind it? So we found that out. And then from then on, I've been a part of, you know, forums and Star Wars websites where they talk about things and discussions and stuff like that. And there's always been talk about why didn't Obi-Wan finish off Anakin in this particular scene?
My brother Anakin, I loved you.
Of course, the final scene where Anakin thinks he has the high ground and he doesn't. And he's overconfident, and he tries to go over Obi-Wan, and he basically slices off limbs here and there. And a lot of people have always asked, you know, what is the deal? Why Why didn't Obi-Wan finish him off? All you had to do was go down there, take your saber, and plunge it through him, and there you go. It's over. Because as you hear in that scene, Chris, Obi-Wan knows he's the Sith. He says you were the chosen one. It was said that you would destroy the Sith, not join them. So he knows that Anakin has turned and he's a Sith. And he doesn't go down there and finish him off. And there's been talk about that. And I'm trying to think, like, every time I see that scene, I go, well, you know, why doesn't he do that? Why isn't he finishing him off? And there's a couple things. I mean, the most obvious answer is, well, he just thought by seeing him all chopped up and burning that he was eventually just gonna die. He was on his deathbed there anyway. He's eventually gonna die. But as he walks away, he's still alive, you know. He sees it. Anakin's screaming as Obi-Wan picks up the saber and walks away. So he's still alive. So it kind of makes me think, well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe he didn't think he was, you know, he had to have known maybe that he wasn't going to die. You know, he's still alive right there. Of course, he's burnt and everything, but he's still alive. So another thought that crept into my mind was maybe he was being unmerciful. I mean, the merciful thing to do would be to put him out of his misery, would be go down there and finish him off. But I don't think Obi-Wan can do that. I mean, you heard him, and he was his brother. These guys had so many interactions from the time the prequel trilogy all the way up to then. So many times together, so many adventures. I mean, they were brothers. And especially in episode 3, there was a few scenes where, like, wow, you know, you can really feel the connection, the chemistry between these two. That they were brothers, you know, they were friends. And through the Clone Wars, we've seen them interact too. So I just think that he just could not do it. I mean, this is some of the fault of Obi-Wan that, we've seen some of the things he's done, some of the decisions Obi-Wan has made throughout the saga there's questions behind him, like, you know, why would he do that? And this is just one of those questions where, man, I just don't think he could do it. I mean, he was supposed to. That's why Yoda sent him to do this. And even he told Yoda, remember, Chris, he told him, I can't do it. Don't make me do this. Because I think Obi-Wan knew that he wasn't going to be able to do it. He wasn't going to be able to kill and destroy the evil that was Darth Vader. So what is it then? You know, like I said, it could be a couple things. But for me, I think it's just he just could not bring himself to kill his friend. I think he knew he was going to survive. But I didn't think maybe he wasn't going to be as big as a threat as he was as Anakin, as the human Anakin, as the not the robot Darth Vader, but the human portion of him. I just don't think he thought he was going to be a big threat, and he just could not bring himself to kill his best buddy. And then, of course, there's also he had to get to Padme, who was, you know, pretty much dying on the platform over there. So he had to kind of get away to handle that as well. But what do you think, Chris? I mean, do you have any thoughts on maybe why he didn't? Is it as easy as he thought he was going to die, or is it a little more complicated than that? What do you think?
Yes, I just thought that he left him for dead. That's kind of how I looked at it, because, I mean, yeah, he was on fire and he was burning, but the fire was put out by the time he left. But basically, to me, is he kind of left him as, okay, you made your bed, now you got to lie in it,
mm-hmm.
type of thing. And
right.
I think some of it did have to do with, at the beginning, that he couldn't kill him because he was his brother. But mm-hmm. I honestly think that by the time they went through the fight, that was done with. He wasn't concerned with that anymore. He knew what he had to do. Mm-hmm. I honestly think he just left him there to suffer, or to, he couldn't, maybe it was a little bit of, he couldn't finish him off, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly just always looked at it as he just left him there thinking he was going to die. But it didn't probably take very long before he realized he was still alive.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, on down the road, you know, in his, I'm pretty sure that when he got in, to living on Tatooine, it wasn't very long before he put two and two together when he saw Darth Vader. Oh,
yeah.
Well, he did survive with a lot of help. So,
and maybe he at that point he could have felt him through the Force, like we've seen other, you know, we've seen Yoda do that before. We've seen Darth Sidious, he's able to feel certain things. Like, he felt that his Darth Vader was needing help. So maybe Obi-Wan felt it afterward, like, oh, man, he didn't die. You know, this is, uh-oh, you know, now what? So
I always kind of thought that because he took his lightsaber, that he was leaving him thinking he was just going to die. It's kind of the fact that he took the lightsaber. It's like, okay, you won't be needing this anymore, type of thing.
Right.
You know, I'll take your lightsaber. I mean, because
yeah, no, that's a good point.
I get maybe he was thinking too that if he ended up being because he was a Sith, he's going to have to rebuild his own, a new lightsaber. But you know what?
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about the saber too. Yeah, he picks up the saber, kind of like a memento of something from the past, like his old buddy. So. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you're not necessarily a wrong answer, but it kind of makes you think, you know, what is it? And for those out there listening, if you have any better ideas or if you can help me maybe figure something out or something maybe we haven't thought of, definitely hit that speak pipe button and let us know what you guys think. You know, why didn't Obi-Wan finish him off? So we'd love to hear your opinions on that, because there is really, I guess, no wrong answer. It's just what do you think?
Or shoot us an email at podcast@galacticbiter.com.
Yeah, definitely. So with that, Chris, we got a topic. We got to talk about R2-D2 and C-3PO. You ready?
Yeah, let's get to it.
All right.
Hello there. You're listening to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, an elegant podcast for a more civilized age. You can go about your business. Move along. Move along.
Like I said, Chris, R2-D2 and C-3PO, two characters that have made it through many adventures and the whole entire saga and continuing on, as we found out earlier this year in Episode 7. We're going to see them again. So I'm going to start off just saying, you know, a lot of times you'll hear, even on this podcast and maybe other podcasts and other forums, that R2-D2 and C-3PO are kind of like the old school Laurel and Hardy. You've heard Abbott and Costello. And maybe for some of the younger listeners who might not know these other comedy duos, I mean, these are duos back in the early, I want to say like 40s and 50s with some of these guys. And like, what do they mean when they say Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello? And basically what we're talking about is you got a duo that you have one guy who's like the straight man, and then you have one guy who is kind of like the comedy guy who's always setting up and doing the funny stuff. And that's kind of what you get with C-3PO and R2-D2. Mm-hmm. R2-D2 is kind of like the funny guy. He's doing funny things. He's making funny quirks. And even though you have no idea what his whistles are, you kind of get it through the interaction with C-3PO. And C-3PO is kind of, you know, he's the uptight one. He's the straight man. And once in a while, he does throw in a funny line or two. So that's kind of what we're talking about. Or when you hear these two referenced as a duo, like these other classic duos, that's what they're talking about. So, Chris, I want to talk, and that's what we're talking about today, some of our favorite funny moments between these two. And they, and Chris, they have their own, like, C-3PO has his own, like, funny stuff he does on his own. And R2-D2, of course, throughout the entire saga, has his own funny stuff that he does. But we're talking about them as a tandem today. And I have actually seven different points or parts of the saga where I thought they had some funny stuff. You have, I think, six, right?
Yes.
Is there anything besides your six you wanted to talk about, or you want me to start off with mine?
Well, I could guess I'll do my one honorable mention, and then you can kick it off.
Okay.
The one honorable mention is one of my favorites. Is the reason I didn't include this was because I had it on our last episode of Funniest Lines. This one,
oh, okay.
R2 and C-3PO, they're all trying to escape, get out to the Millennium Falcon in Bespin, and 3PO's busting at R2, said, "Don't worry, you stupid lump, just open the door, blah, 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 blah," and all this. And when he finally opens the door, and he's like, "Wonderful, never doubted you for a second." Just that whole interaction is funny. It's just R2's trying to tell him something, he don't care, he's not listening. And, you know, that actually carries on a little bit into the Falcon when they're arguing, when R2 is trying to tell C-3PO that, hey, the the hyperdrive is not activated because the computer is saying so, and he's telling him, you know better than to trust a strange computer. And I'm like, well, okay, yeah, there's a little, you know, jab at, you know, don't trust strangers. So, I mean, just that, I didn't include it only because I had it on the last episode, so I went with some other different areas that I like, and mine aren't in any really order. I did like you normally do. I jumbled mine up, but except for my last one, it's got to be my favorite interaction between them two. So
I did the same thing. I saved my last one as, I think, my favorite of the two. But you're right. A lot of the stuff that happens between these two is like C-3PO has an opinion, and then all of a sudden R2 does something and fixes it, and then 3PO turns it right back around like, oh yeah, you did great. You know, so a lot of it stuff's like that. And I have seven different clips. I kind of try to pull things from the prequel trilogy. I got one from the Clone Wars and of course the OT. So I'm going to start off with Return of the Jedi. And, like we talked about before we started, Chris, there's a lot of this stuff comes from not just the OT, but like Star Wars, but there's still a couple things that go on in the prequel trilogy. And even in Return of the Jedi, that these two had some good stuff. And here's one of mine from Return of the Jedi.
R2, are you sure this is the right place? I'd better knock, I suppose. There doesn't seem to be anyone here. Let's go back and tell Master Luke. Goodness gracious me.
R2 a pinky.
R2 would detour.
Why not eat this?
Bo, say, three, pay, O-R.
Like
it. A,
tutor, or
Mishka, Jabberduhat. I don't think they're going to let us in, R2. We'd better go. R2, wait! Oh, dear. R2, I really don't think we should rush into all this. Oh, R2, wait for me! Just you deliver Master Luke's message and get us out of here. Goodbye. Mato, we bring a message to your master, Jabba the Hutt.
Hey, Jabba Wonka.
And a gift. Gift? What gift?
Nay, Jabba, no bother. Is I will tell. Is it Kato Omozi?
Of course, Chris, that clip starts outside of the walls and continues on. And I just love, like, first of all, you get Return of Jedi. So we've gotten used to these characters now as far as timeline, not timeline wise, but like release of the movies wise. So by 83, we knew who these two characters were. We knew they were best friends, kind of. And coming up this wall, I just love the interaction and the way that 3PO, he's just so frightened. You know, the first thing he says, you know, he knocks on the door, he goes, oh, nobody's there. We got to go. You know, like he wants to get out of there. R2's, of course, has all this information that he has to get to Jabba. But yeah, you know, 3PO is so scared. And one of the funniest parts of this was, when R2 is doing his little beeps, saying like, we have to give this gift to Jabba. And then 3PO goes, yeah, the gift. Wait, what gift? What are you talking about? Like, 3PO has no clue what's going to happen to him here. And it's all revealed when he plays the message. But, and it's also funny that R2, he knows, he's got to know what's on the clip, right? I mean, he's not just playing a clip and is going to be shocked, I don't think. So I'm assuming that R2 knows that they're going to be given up as gifts because he has Luke's lightsaber in there. So he knows that there's this setup going on. This is all a big plan just in case Jabba doesn't go with the plan with this whole gift thing. And I think maybe Luke knew, Chris, that Jabba wasn't going to go for this plan. So this is all just a ruse to set everything up, which is a great plan. Get R2 in there with my lightsaber. So when I get captured, this is how it's going to play out. So But I just like the fact that R2 kind of knows what he's getting into. He knows he's going to be put to being a servant, and he's going to be captured. But 3PO is totally clueless, because you can't get that 3PO know, because he's going to blurt it out. He's going to screw everything up. But I just love that line of like, what gift? What gift? What's going on here? What are you talking about? Like, he's totally in the dark. And a great interaction between these two, one of my favorites, Return of the Jedi. One of the opening scenes of Return of the Jedi as well. So yeah. That's one of mine, Chris, and Return of the Jedi. What do you got for one of yours?
Well, first of all, I really like that one, too. That always cracks me up when he knocks on the door. It's like, oh, there's nobody. Yeah. There seems to be anybody home. But you're absolutely right. R2 knows exactly what's going on. Because, you know, Luke, he records the messages Luke talks to him. And, right, of course, yeah. You know, they can't tell C-3PO because he doesn't know when to shut up and when to keep things quiet. So, and R2's just strictly, this is my mission. And I always loved that as a kid, even still now when that door, as soon as that door comes open, as soon as it's up and up, R2 is bam, he's gone. I'm going in because this is where
I
gotta
go. Yeah,
he's gone.
Yeah.
But, okay, my first one is 34 seconds, and this one is from Star Wars.
Wait a minute, where'd she go? Bring her back. Play back the entire message.
What message? The one you've just been playing. The one you're carrying inside your rusty innards.
Luke!
All right, I'll be right there, Aunt Peru.
I'm sorry, sir, but he appears to have picked up a slight flutter.
Here, see what you can do with him. I'll be right back.
Just you reconsider playing that message for him. No, I don't think he likes you at all. No, I don't like you either.
This one, I just always enjoyed this one, is you do have the interaction back and forth, and to me, R2 is kind of like I'm really, really like a little kid in this one, is he was wanting 3PO's approval.
Right.
And, you know, once again, R2 has got a mission, and he knows where he's going, and 3PO is just there to confused, and it's always funny to watch 3PO as he's just, like you said, scared. He's a droid. What's he scared of? He's a freaking droid. Why is he always so nervous and afraid and just basically a big chicken? But that's just always one. I always enjoyed that little interaction there, and I love the way he turns, 3PO turns his back to him. It's like, I don't like you either. It just kind of turns away from him.
Yeah. And the talk, when you hear the interaction between those two, it's so cool because, like you said, he's, R2 is, the way they mix that and his whistles, he does sound like he's just like a little toddler, and C-3PO's talking down to him like, like you said, he turns his back, kind of that kind of thing. And then also the fact that 3PO just loves to bang on this droid. I mean, he's always, we'll get to one of my other ones. You know, he's kicking him. He's always hitting him. One of those things where you slap your kid over the head or on the back of the head or something. Like, come on, what's wrong with you? One of those type of things. Not that he's going to feel anything.
Yeah.
But it's just funny to see that. So I didn't have that on my list, but man, that's a great one. Great, great one from Star Wars there. I'm going to keep you in Star Wars, Chris, and we're going to go to one of the first times, as an audience, that we see the duo.
R2-D2, where are you? At last! Where have you been? They're heading in this direction. What are we going to do? We'll be sent to the spice mines of Kessel or smashed into who knows what. Wait a minute. Where are you going? Hey, you're not permitted in there. It's restricted. You'll be deactivated for sure. Don't you call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight glob of grease. Now come on before somebody sees you. I'm not getting any there. I'm going to regret this.
And Chris, one of my favorite scenes is, of course, one of the first times we see this duo when we're first introduced to this pair and their interaction they have. And C-3PO always, he's trying to be the leader of this duo, right? But it's, you know, he never is. He thinks he is, but he never is the leader of this duo. It's always R2 that's taking the helm and kind of just doing what he does, because he knows 3PO is just going to follow him and do whatever needs to be done. But 3PO objects, and he says his piece, but he always goes along with whatever R2's doing, especially when you're getting fired at by stormtroopers. you're going to go into the escape pod, but
yeah.
And then calling him the overweight glob of grease, you know. And of course, C-3PO, tons of insults for R2, but in the very end, he always follows his little buddy, and it always works out for him. So, of course, I had to put that in there. One of the first times we've seen these duo, I remember being a kid and like, whoa, what the heck is this? You know, what is going on here? So, one of my favorite scenes, the escape pod scene in Star Wars, one of my favorites. What do you got? Is that on your list, Chris?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, we'll see. We'll save your comments for later, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My next one is in Empire Strikes Back, and this is a 30-second clip.
You must come along now, R2. There's really nothing more we can do. And my joints are freezing up. Don't say things like that. Of course we'll see Master Luke again. And he'll be quite all right. You'll see. Stupid short circuit. He'll be quite all right.
All right, this was kind of short and sweet, but I always liked this interaction between them two because R2 is standing there at the door trying to locate his master. Mm-hmm. And 3PO is, I can't stand here any longer. It's too cold. We've got to go inside. He'll survive, blah, blah, blah. He keeps trying to, even though he's worried and concerned, he's trying to reassure R2. And himself, I think, a little bit in it is as well. But then he goes right on and talks to Princess Leia afterwards and gives her the odds because, yeah, like, that's going to be comforting to Leia that, you know, he has a 725-to-1 chance of surviving. So,
yeah.
Leave it up to 3PO to just put a damper on everything with the odds.
He does. Well, I think what's also funny, it's not on my list, but good scene, is that, you know, here is R2, he's questioning whether Luke's going to make it. And, of course, C-3PO just can't stand the fact that his master, his new master, something could be wrong with him. So he's kind of mad at R2. He's like, R2, quit talking like that. You know, quit having this negative attitude. He's going to be fine. You'll see. And he's like talking in his breath. Oh, dear. You know, so I like the fact that he's questioning R2 because R2's at this one of the rare times where R2 is a little – it sounds like he's – he's not sure, you know, he has his scanners out and he's like, oh, I don't think he's going to make it. And of course, C-3PO thinks otherwise. So not on my list, but yeah, great scene. Let's go to, I'm going to take you guys to the prequel trilogy and episode one. And the first time these two fateful droids meet.
Where is everybody?
Whoops.
Hello, I am C-3PO, Human Cyborg Relations. How might I serve you?
He's perfect.
Oh, perfect?
When the storm is over, I'll show you my racer. I'm building a pod racer.
I'm not sure this floor is entirely stable. Oh, hello. I don't believe we have been introduced. R2-D2, a pleasure to meet you. I am C-3PO, Human Cyborg Relations. I beg your pardon, but what do you mean, naked? My parts are showing. My goodness.
Oh, of course, Chris. Phantom Menace, you know, after so many years of waiting, and we found out that there's going to be a prequel trilogy, and the excitement and the buzz that surrounded episode one, and then to watch the movie, and then you get this scene where, you know, we're introduced. This is the introduction of these two droids. This is where they first met. This is the beginning of this long relationship that continues. It's going to be continuing past the OT and into the sequel trilogy. So I had to put that on there. The meeting, the first time that C-3PO meets R2-D2. And of course, C-3PO is still in his, he doesn't have his gold outer shell on. But just the interaction of these two and the funny, and it was just like old times, you know. They didn't miss a beat, even though this is the first time they met. And this the quip that R2 says, hey, you know, you're naked. It was kind of a little funny throwback there. And I thought it was a fun scene. And the first time these two meet, you got to put that on there as one of the favorite interactions of these two the first time they meet. Was that on your list, Chris? I know we talked about there's not a lot going on in the prequel trilogy between these two.
There's not.
But of course, this scene is the introduction of these two and when they first meet. One of my favorite moments between R2 and C-3PO. What do you got, Chris?
Well, I left that one off my list, but yeah, it's still one of the good ones. And that little line about being naked and
yeah,
and 3PO just really can't move good because he doesn't have his coverings and everything.
Yeah,
but
I think just for the fact that you know after so many years, we never thought we were going to get any more Star Wars movies, and we did, and it was kind of just fun like seeing the birth of these two and how they first met. You know, you got to put that on the list. So go ahead, Chris.
You know, we know that R2 has just come off this, basically just come off the assembly line for episode 1. And then, you know, 3PO is, as Anakin is just putting together. So
right.
But my next one, I'm going to go back to Star Wars for this next one. And this one is 30 seconds long.
Hey, you're not permitted in there. It's restricted. You'll be deactivated for sure. Don't you call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight glob of grease. Now come on before somebody sees you. Secret mission. Plans. What are you talking about? I'm not getting in there. I'm going to regret this.
Yes. Hey, we are on the same page on one.
It's just, I mean, it's just so good. Once again, you've got R2-D2 that he's on his mission. He knows what he has to do. And he's like, look, this is where we got to go. Either you can come or I can go by myself. It doesn't matter. So basically, yeah, it's still kind of that whole adage of, well, there's no life form, so why not shoot the escape pod? You know, what?
That was one of our plot holes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, hey, they had to get down to the surface somehow, and that's how they did it. But always a fun interaction, that one is.
Yeah, we haven't matched up, but that was one. I'm sure there's probably a couple more maybe towards the end here where we'll have the same idea. But, yeah, we finally matched on one. I'm going to take you actually to the Clone Wars where, again, Clone Wars, after 6 seasons, and I've seen I'm still going through the last season. We're doing them over in the Frontlines podcast. But, you know, we've seen these droids interact in the Clone Wars too. And here's one particular scene where they actually were the main focus of the episode and a nice nostalgic feel to this scene.
I don't know. What was the breach that he spoke of? What was broken?
Artu, hurry! Replay Orphan's message. Yes, riddle. I know it's a riddle. That's what we're trying to figure out. What the riddle means. Just play it back, would you?
You can run, but cannot walk. You have a mouth, but cannot talk. You have a head, but never weep. You have a bed, but never sleep.
Run, but cannot walk. Yes. Have a mouth, but cannot talk. Don't worry, Artu. I'll figure it out very soon. Riddles are my speciality. Let's see. Cannot walk. Mouth, but cannot talk. What, fire? It isn't fire. Let me think. Soil? Of course it's not soil. What are you going on about? I nearly had it. Water. Oh, Artu, will you stop your mumbling and let me think? What are you doing now? This is no time to clean up. All this water. I detest getting wet. Water. A river. A river. Artu, it's a river. That's it. I have figured it out. Oh, it is a river. River is the magic word. Oh, it's working. Oh, quick, Artu. Quick. This might be our ticket out of here. You figured it out. How could you?
And of course, Chris, C-3PO once again takes credit for something that looks like R2 was already well in front of him. But this particular episode was an episode entitled Mercy Mission. It was the fifth episode in season, what was it, season four, I believe. And, season four. And it was basically an R2-D2 C-3PO centric episode. They were on this planet Aline, and they were, they're on this weird journey through this underworld planet, and of course, C-3PO at that scene, they're trying to figure out this riddle. And R2 already knows it, and he's trying to give these hints to C-3PO, and then finally he just, in the episode, he shoots water out of one of his, you know, doodads or gadgets, and it fills up, and then they get tossed out. So, but then the whole thing that I loved about it is just it had that classic feel between these two characters, where you had Anthony Daniels coming back to do the voice, which is always great, trying to figure out this riddle, and then R2, like I said, R2 already had it figured out, but then at the very end, here's C-3PO trying to take credit for it, and R2 is already way ahead of him and had this thing figured out. So just that classic, and throughout that whole episode, these two had interactions where they're falling down this, I can't remember if it was like just a well or something. They fell in, and they were falling. They had this great one-liners back and forth. So that whole episode, if you haven't seen it in a while, go back and check it out. Mercy Mission. If you're a C-3PO R2-D2 fan, that episode was all about them and just some great interactions and had that old school feel to it. So one of my favorites, Mercy Mission season 4, episode 5. Between these two. So I don't think you had any Clone Wars on yours, Chris.
No.
But I had to feature one of those.
Yeah. No, I didn't. To me, it was kind of like, okay, where do I start when I get into the Clone Wars?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch that episode again. I haven't seen that one in a while. For my next one, I'm going to go into the prequels, actually.
All right.
Play this next one is 37 seconds.
My obtuse little friend, if they had needed our help, they would have asked for it. You obviously have a great deal to learn about human behavior. For a mechanic, you seem to do an excessive amount of thinking. I am programmed to understand humans. What does that mean? That means I am in charge here. Hey, where are you going now? You don't know what's out there. Have you no sense at all?
How
idiot!
I love when he says idiot.
Yeah, just a great interaction once they get back together in episode 2. And to me, I was sitting there watching this movie last night, and I'm kind of, when Anakin and Padme get back down to Tatooine and 3PO's there, it's just so weird to sit there and think that, oh, 3PO spent several years at the Lars homestead. Mm-hmm. But, of course, once he got his memory wiped, he doesn't remember it.
Right.
And R2 was there, but he didn't go in or anything. He was just kind of stayed with the ship. So, it's, you know, it makes you wonder, what did R2 say to 3PO when they were there the second time around and whatnot. But I just always enjoyed that. It was just kind of their setup. Their first interaction after meeting in episode one, and our 3PO basically explaining what, you know, he's understanding, that he's the one that understands humans, whereas R2's just a lump. And well, R2 understands a lot more than he's thinking. But yeah, I love that line at the end. Oh, idiot. Just, you know, get just as usual frustrated and has to call him the name.
Yeah, that is so funny to hear that. Every time I hear it, I just kind of laugh. It's funny how he says it, but you're right. That's exactly what I pulled from it, was that, like, 3PO, he thinks he understands humans. He thinks that's what he's been built for. You know, he speaks over, 5 million languages. So he thinks he can understand, but it's actually R2 that kind of knows more about what's going on and is in tune with everything more than C-3PO, but C-3PO likes to think that he is. Chris, we're gonna stay in Attack of the Clones, and I know this scene is, some people kind of maybe cringe sometimes when they watch it because the humor is just a little bit like on the nose, and it's still a funny scene. Check it out.
R2, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Oh, stop that. You're going to strain something. My leg! Now, where are you taking me? Look, this is such a drag. I'm quite beside myself. Arthur, please be careful. You're sinking my circuits. But is my head on straight?
And of course, Chris, we're talking about the arena battle, and amongst all that great action and chaos going on, you had just thrown a little bit of the comedy duo here of R2 and C-3PO. And like I said, you know, some people don't really like that. They thought I was going just a little too far with the humor, but I still kind of got a kick out of it, you know, especially the, he's getting dragged and, you know, this is such a drag and the whole thing. But here's R2 saving his friend once again, putting him back together. And which we've seen him do before in the OT, but I don't know. I still had fun with it. I still liked it. I still like, you know, not necessarily the stuff that led up to it where he's getting his head chopped off and everything and walking around and shooting, but the part where R2 latches onto his head and starts dragging him around and saves him and all that. I kind of like that. I thought that was kind of funny. I don't know. What do you think? You think that's a little too like?
No, no.
Did it bother you at all? No.
No, okay. I love it. I think it's just wonderful. He's like, oh, this is such a drag. The one that cracks me up is when he gets into the side. He's like, oh, I'm beside myself.
Beside myself. Yeah.
Okay. But I always loved it. What he's putting the head on and he starts, you know, he's got it shocking or, you know, he's attaching the head and 3PO's body just keeps like jumping, his legs and arms are jumping when he does. I just love that. Yeah. It's such great. And you look around and they're all fighting in this arena, and yet he's working on 3PO in the middle of it. So,
yeah, right in the middle of all the chaos. But yeah, just a couple of the little zingers there with the drag and the I'm beside myself. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I get it, but it's still, I don't know, it's still one of those it's where I like the interaction between those two.
It's
so
3PO saying something silly, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. All good. I love that stuff. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, well, we have, I think, two left each.
More. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, here's my second to last one. In this one, I'm going to take you to Return of the Jedi.
All right.
R2, what are you doing here? Well, I can see you're serving drinks, but this place is dangerous. They're going to execute Master Luke, and if we're not careful, us too. I wish I had your confidence.
Yeah.
I love that sequence. Once again, R2's telling him what's up, and he's just not paying attention to him. He's just like, yeah, it's just R2. He's just rambling. You know, I wish I had your confidence, but I love the fact that R2 is biding his time by serving drinks. I mean, that just,
yeah,
him walking around with that thing on his head is just, it's humorous. And, you know, R2's just,
tray, yeah.
Yeah, he's just doing whatever he can do to wait until for the moment to get up there and right. Shoot the lightsaber out for his master to do what he, you know, this is what Luke wants him to do. And 3PO's just, you know, he's, like you said, he's scared, nervous, he's a chicken, he don't know what's going on.
Well, that's, like we talked about earlier, the beginning of that, not beginning of that, but one of my favorites was the entrance into Jabba's palace and how, you know, R2 knew what he was getting into. And, of course, they kind of put a subtle clue in this particular scene right here, like when they say, when a C-3PO says, I wish I had your confidence. So, obviously, R2's confident that they're going to get out of there. He knows this is just a temporary thing. They're going to be in there. I'm going to serve drinks, but Luke's going to come. He's implanted the lightsaber in me. I'm ready to shoot this thing off. I've got to get into position. But just that little clue there, and you didn't know it at the time, but now when you look back and you go, oh, wow, there's a little kind of clue in the script there where the confidence of R2 that they're going to get out of it okay, and that Luke is on his way, and it's all going to be good. So, yeah, definitely a cool scene there, seeing him as the drink tray getting into position. but he's that little clue there. It's just a clue. The confidence, you know. R2's no, like I said, R2 always is on the pulse of what's going on. He's always in the loop, and they can always count on R2 to be where he's supposed to be. So, good stuff, Chris. Love that. Let's go to for my last two, my second to last. I'm going to go back to Star Wars.
How did we get into this mess? I really don't know how. We seem to be made to suffer. It's our lot in life. Where do you think you're going? Well, I'm not going that way. It's much too rocky. This way is much easier. Go that way. You'll be malfunctioning within a day, you nearsighted scrap pile. And don't let me catch you following me, begging for help, because you won't get it.
Of course, Chris, one of my favorite
malfunctioning
scenes.
Malfunctioning little twerp. This is all
Star
his fault.
Star Wars. They just got off. Just got out of the escape pod. And, you know, again, C-3PO, he so wants to be the leader of this group, and he thinks he is the leader of this group. But R2 obviously has a plan. He has his orders. He knows what he's supposed to. He's got to find Obi-Wan. He's got to deliver his message, so he's going to do it. And C-3PO is not going to tell him what to do. And here again, you get the kick, which is just so funny. Like, you know, you're not hurting R2. I don't understand why you're trying to kick him, but it's just a funny little thing that he kicks him. It's like, and then he throws a, right when C-3PO realizes that R2 is going to go his own way and not listen to him, he immediately turns around and starts calling him names and kicking him, and he starts walking the other way like, I'm going to show you, I'm going to go this way, and I'm going to find shelter, I'm going to find a rescue or whatever, and he takes off. Just despite R2, he does that, even though, you know, R2 knows exactly where he's supposed to go. And the right way, but just the whole thing where he kicks him and he's his friend there for a second. And immediately when he realizes he's not going to follow him, he starts jabbing at him and calling him names and everything. So, second favorite maybe is that little interaction. Just, there's so much stuff in Star Wars between these two, and it's kind of hard to narrow it down, but that's one of my favorite ones. Is that?
Well, I'm just going to move right on in.
Okay.
What a desolate place this is. I've just about had enough of you. Go that way. You'll be malfunctioning within a day, you nearsighted scrap pile. And don't let me catch you following me, begging for help, because you won't get it. No more adventures. I'm not going that way.
Wait a minute.
I love the way in that it's one of my favorites, because it's just like 3PO's like, no more adventures. I'm like, no more adventures. They hadn't even begun really anything. And R2's sitting there, you know, looking back and forth. It's like, you're really walking away. And he hollers at him and he's just like, okay, well, fine. Then I just go on with my business. And he's doo 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 whistling to himself. And they both go off in different directions, end up in the same place. You know, both of them end up aboard the Sandcrawler, which is, that's just always been one of my favorite sequences between them two.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, R2 had, he had to have had some type of coordinates or something to get to Obi-Wan, because he had a clear plan of where he wanted to go. He just got intercepted by the Jawas, obviously. But yeah, Chris, expanding on my scene, we're kind of in the same area there. C-3PO says, hey, don't come begging for help when you get lost. Like he thinks R2's going to get lost and come begging for him. But, and then of course R2, he kind of has a scream. Like, you could almost read his scream. Like, are you sure you don't want to come this way? You know, this is the right way. He's like, no. You know, I'm going this way. You go that way. But you mentioned the no more adventures line. And now thinking about that line now, Chris, it's like, we've seen all these adventures now. We've seen the prequel trilogy. We've seen them in the Clone Wars. So that line, like when you watch these movies again, you hear that line and they go, yeah, they have been through tons of adventures and there's going to be actually tons more. They're like right in the middle there. Yeah. So that kind of, that 3PO line rings even truer now.
Yeah, 3PO doesn't even remember their adventures before. You know, he's just like,
yeah,
we're just now meeting.
Oh, right. You know, yeah. True. Yeah.
You know,
but as an audience, yeah, we're like, wow, they have been through so much together. So. Let's finish it up. What's that?
You know, he had the memory wiped at the end of episode 3, so there was that time in between that hopefully we'll get some answers in Star Wars Rebels. You know, how many times does 3PO get his mind wiped? I'm sure once Star Wars starts, he never has his mind wiped again.
Right.
You know, because Luke's not going to
die. Yeah. So let's finish it up, man. We got our last And here's our last one, Chris. I did save my favorite for the last. And I think we're different here on our number, our favorites here. So I'm going to take you guys to The Empire Strikes Back.
Noisy brute. Why didn't we just go into light speed? We can't. How would you know the hyperdrive is deactivated? The city's central computer told you. R2-D2, you know better than to trust a strange computer. Ouch! Pay attention to what you're doing! R2, come back at once! You haven't finished with me yet! You don't know how to fix the hyperdrive. Chewbacca can do it! I'm standing here in pieces, and you're having delusions of grandeur! You did it!
Yes, my favorite scene was R2, and it is more like R2 saving the day, and that was kind of so fun about it, Chris, was that whole scene was just so, there was a lot of tension built up, and, you know, were they going to get away? And in the midst of all that, you have R2 and 3PO, you know, and 3PO is arguing because he doesn't have a leg. He's trying to get fixed, and R2 leaves him, like, hey, you know, I got other things to deal with. I can't deal with you right now. And he leaves C-3PO, and C-3PO is the classic, you know, we hear the line again, the delusions of, or actually, that's the first time we heard it.
Yep.
You know, the delusions of grandeur line, and we hear that line, and then, of course, he fixes the hyperdrive, just one that he plugs in real quick, and he fixes it, and all of a sudden, 3PO's like, hey, you did it! You know, he's all excited for his little buddy, you know, you did it, you fixed the Falcon, and they go into hyperspace, so just that... That back and forth, that dual personality almost that 3PO has. Like at one second he's pissed at R2 because he's not fixing him. You know, fix me. I'm the most important one here. Not us getting out of the realm of the Empire. You know, not getting sucked in this tractor beam or fixing the hyperdrive. I'm more important. But R2 leaves him and he finally fixes the Falcon and they go off and everything's great. So my favorite scene and just the whole culmination of that and them getting out. And escaping the clutches of the Death Star, or the clutches of the Empire, and them going to safety. So that's my favorite scene between those two. That funny little banter, and then R2 saving the day. What do you got for your number one, Chris? Well, I don't think it was that, right?
No, that was the first meeting on Tatooine was my number one. So yeah,
right.
But yeah, that was in my honorable mention, extended part of the honorable mentions.
Right.
I always loved that part where. He gets, you know, goes to fix the hyperdrive, and then he gets that yell as he comes flying back into the hole on top of Chewie. And I always love that blooper. There's a blooper there that when 3PO, he's first, when R2 goes over to the panel, he looks back, you get the shot back at C-3PO, and he's holding his leg by his foot. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to R2 and come back, and he's holding it by the knee. So I'm like, so
yeah,
3PO's
right.
Juggling his leg here. But, I mean, yeah, that's just a great great little sequence. And R2's like, okay, look, you're not going to listen to me again. I'm just going to go and do what I need to do. And then, of course, 3PO's bitching at him, and then he praises him when he's right. So, yeah.
Right.
As usual.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. So that's it then. We got it done.
That is it.
That's it, man. Hey, but you know what? Here's the crazy thing, too. We talk about these two, and they're such the duo, and they kind of love to hate each other, but they can't get along without each other. But you know what's the crazy thing? And I don't know if you've heard this, Chris, is, and this is apparently just recently, and correct me if I'm wrong, but apparently Anthony Daniels and Kenny Baker don't really like each other. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Have you read that? Yeah. They just, for whatever reason, they just don't like each other. It's so weird to hear that, you know, this duo that we love to see together can't stand each other in real life. So I don't know.
Yeah.
What's going on.
I actually saw that and I read it to see what it was talking about. And it comes down to the fact that 3PO or Anthony wanted something to play opposite of him. So he, you know, he would say his line and he was wanting Kenny to acknowledge or do something so that he could play off of it and he couldn't do it because he couldn't hear him, or he couldn't. It never worked out. Anthony just basically said, "Well, you know what? Just forget it. I'll do it on my own." And basically, he was just took it as Kenny Baker really wasn't much of an actor. He was just inside
the
know, R2, and Kenny just kind of took offense to that. I from what I understand, and Anthony Daniels has never really made much of an effort towards him, from what I've heard. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, I've met both of them. Kenny Baker was very nice, and Anthony Daniels can be very nice. I've heard of him being kind of a jerk at times, but he was always nice when I was with him, and I met him several times. He was always nice, but the thing with Anthony Daniels is he is a showman. He is definitely loves to perform, so he is a huge showman when it comes to people. So from what I understand, from what people have told me, that he's just not the necessarily the nicest guy when he's not performing.
Yeah, the article I was reading, it kind of is the same thing you said, Chris. It's kind of like Anthony Daniels is, you know, classically trained or whatever, and I think maybe he just thinks he's above certain actors maybe or whatever, and Kenny Baker's basically just like a circus performer. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying, like, you know, that's he's in the R2 thing, and he's doing his acting from inside, and C-3PO is doing it kind of with his mannerisms and his voice and all that. So that's kind of what I heard is Anthony Daniels thought of him as kind of like a circus performer, whereas Anthony's classically trained, and it's just, there's this bitterness between the two, and Kenny Baker wanted to do some things with Anthony Daniels as a pair, like as R2, but Daniels wasn't really fond of that, didn't want to do that. So there's just kind of like this rift. And I think there still is kind of like a little bit of a rift between these two. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
If we see them, you know, in the sequel trilogy now, how they get along. I don't know exactly how Kenny Baker is going to do, what he's going to do, because we kind of found out that these R2 builders are going to be doing the R2. So I don't know what part.
I don't know how much Kenny will be able to. Besides, he's very old. Yeah, I think he's in his either late 70s or around 80 by now. But, you know, I've heard so many things about Anthony, and I mean, he's a great showman. We've all seen it, and you know, he, like you said, he's feels that some are beneath him. I still remember, and when you're watching that documentary of Building an Empire, he makes a comment when he's talking about the British crew on Star Wars. He says, no putting down the British crew, but they kind of had this attitude. And I'm thinking, well, you just did.
Yeah, right.
You know, with the comment. But, you know, like I said, I've met him several times, and he was always very, very nice when I met him. But then I've also have some friends that got to deal with him behind the scenes at particular cons, and saying that he's not necessarily the nicest person when he's not in the spotlight sometimes.
Yeah.
When he's out there performing, he's fantastic. But when he's not, he could be, kind of a snot, I want to say.
But yeah. Yeah. But that's just funny, you know. We talk about our favorite moments between these two, and they have this great chemistry together. But, you know, off the camera, there is none, and they kind of don't like each other. So that's it, folks. That is our favorite moments between R2-D2 and C-3PO. If you have any that we missed, anything you thought should be on this kind of list, definitely let us know. If you have any thoughts on the Anakin Obi-Wan thing we talked about earlier, definitely email us or SpeakPipe us or whatever, or go on the Facebook page, Starlight Pit, and throw some responses there, whatever you can. It'd be cool to hear your input. So, Chris, before we go, though, just a couple things as far as where to contact us and where to interact with us. You want to mention some of our pages?
Yeah. Well, first thing before I get to the pages is we've had in the past, I want to say regular listeners.
Right.
Yeah. But I kind of hate to put it that way, but you guys know what we mean.
Yeah.
People that aren't in Star Wars, that don't have their own podcast, don't have their own website. They just love listening to the show. And we've had various listeners on the show. Well, it's been quite a while since we've had a regular listener on the show, and the list that I had was keeping up with is long gone. So I wanted to say, if you're interested in coming on the show, shoot us an email to podcast@galacticbinder.com and put something in the subject line about coming on to the show. And then we'll get in touch, and we'll see what we can work out, if we can, you know, work certain people to get on the show. And we'll see, because we really enjoy having the various listeners. You know, it's funny how Carl LeClaire from the Wampus Lair, that's how he ended up being on the show. You know, that's how he got into doing what he's doing. He just came on as a guest because he liked the show and he wanted to sit down and talk to us. And the next thing you know, we're going to Fan Days together. And then, you know, Star Wars Celebration 5 and or 6, which was it 6? Whatever. The last celebration.
Mm-hmm. 6, yeah.
And then, you know, and now he's been doing his own podcast for a couple of years now. So, and, you know, hey, if you want to shoot us a line, let us know where you live. And but two things that you will need. You'll need Skype, which is free, and you'll need some type of microphone headset deal so that we can you can plug it in and then you can talk to us and then hear us as well. And but it's getting into our pages. We have, like you said, facebook.com/classicStarWars page, and now we have Star Wars Now. And then also our Sarlacc Pit podcast page, and you can contact us on there. Post any questions on the main page if you want. If you have any questions, if you want to discuss something, use it as a forum. Just post up a question to see what people think about it. And Twitter, we're pushing Twitter now with the Classic Star Wars, and then we also have Sarlacc Pit Cast is also on, we're on Twitter. We don't do as much on Twitter as we do on Facebook, so. Mm-hmm. Facebook would be the easiest place to get to us outside of our email at podcast@galacticbinder.com. So, and of course, you know, we're sponsored by galacticbinder.com and yodasnews.com. So it's great to have those two websites that we get to work with. So,
yeah. You know, I just have to piggyback on what you said about the guests. You know, from the very outset of this podcast, Chris, is you wanted, it was, you know, by fans, for the fans, and with the fans. And we've had a lot of fans of Star Wars on the podcast, and I'm sure we've had some of the celebrities, as you know, voice actors and stuff on the show too, but it's still, our main goal was to have an outlet for just regular fans who don't have a podcast but want to get heard and want their, you know, put some opinions out there and all these great opinions. And like you said, that's how Carl got started. You know, he came on our show and then we started talking. Now we're great friends and he's got his own podcast, a few podcasts now. So we, you know, definitely encourage you guys to come on, and if there's any topics you want to discuss, just put it in the subject line as well and say, hey, I want to come on and talk about my favorite, you know, chips, or my favorite, you know, which the order of the trilogy I like to watch. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. So
yeah, we can come up with something. That's what I like to do, is we always like to pose to you, what would you like to talk about? And then we'll work something out. We'll get something that we all three want to talk about. Even if it's, say, you want to sit there and talk about, you know, the order of your movies, well, that's obviously something that we wouldn't necessarily focus a whole topic on. But we sit and spend 15, 20 minutes you know, discussing that and then something else. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's great. Some of the just normal listeners that have come onto the show have turned out to be good friends of mine that I keep in touch with. And still communicate with. So, I mean, we both do that. And like you said, that's part of it. We want to get that other opinion in here and on the show, even if it's different from ours. And we, you know, we've had a couple of guys that's come on that's had some very different opinions and gives us another point of view of how to look at certain things. And, you know, point of view, famous line from the movie. So.
Yeah. And I mean, that's how kind of I got interested in getting into podcasting. And I know a lot of other people have, is you listen to a show and you're like, man, I wish I could just Skype in right now and tell my feelings. And I started doing that, and it's like, you know what? I'm gonna look into this thing and try to get into podcasting myself. So
now you have
definitely
two.
Do that.
Now you have two or three shows, should we say? You're still doing the Clone Wars and the Star Wars Rebels?
Yeah, and the Rebels podcast, and we're finishing up the Clone Wars podcast, and that's been a blast in transitioning into the Rebels podcast. So it's definitely fun, and I just enjoy, and we got plenty of years to come of Star Wars goodness. So with that, you guys know where to go for all our pages. Like we said, you know, email us, Facebook, whatever it is, get in touch with us, make a comment if you want to come on the show, whatever it is, just get in touch. We'd love to chat with fans of the wars. So with that, thank you guys for making us part of your Star Wars day. And for Chris, we'll see you guys next time in the Sarlacc Pit. Yeah, Chris, those two don't get along. We're going to see a battle. We're going to see a fight between Kenny Baker and Anthony. No,
you know, that just really floored me when I saw that article. Yeah. Didn't have any idea.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com.